Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann, and you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForAgain, and while you're there at GoForAgain, why don't you give me a follow there on Twitter at GoForAgain. Expected today to be joined by the great Willie Rofe. We're going to go over and look at championship weekend in the National Football League. We're going to look at last week's action and also look at what's going to happen, or what may happen, I should say, this week in the National Football League, as the Ravens, Patriots are fighting for the AFC side and the Giants and 49ers are fighting for the NFC side. So we shall see what's going to happen. But again, we're going to talk to Willie Rofe about it. We're going to talk to Willie Rofe about it and get his thoughts on all that. That is the National Football League. And also, we're going to be joined by Pittsburgh Steelers safety Ryan Mundy, and we're going to talk about Ryan's season and get Ryan's take on championship weekend as the Steelers played the 49ers, played the Ravens twice, and also played the New England Patriots. So he knows a little bit about these ball clubs, so we're going to get his take on that. And also actor Bobby Coleman, and Bobby played in such movies as Martian Child. And, again, that was a big-time movie, and he appeared in that. So we're going to talk to Bobby Coleman. And Bobby has some interesting things going on. He's trekking through the Amazon, so we're going to talk about that and get his thoughts on that. And Bobby also was in the last song with Miley Cyrus about a year ago, so we're going to talk to Bobby about all those things. So make sure you stick around. Willie Rofe, Pittsburgh Steelers safety Ryan Mundy, and actor Bobby Coleman. And let's get started. Championship weekend is upon us. It is here. It'll be here tomorrow. Some good football games tomorrow. This has been a pretty good playoff thus far. And you look at it. You look at these playoffs. And I want to go back to last week's action. And I was 3-1 actually with my picks. I had the 49ers winning. I had the Broncos losing to the Patriots. I thought it would be a lot closer, but I had the Broncos losing to the Patriots. I had the Ravens beating the Texans. And I had the Packers beating the Giants. And that was a game that surprised me. I mean, I looked at that game and I thought that the Green Bay Packers would blow the New York Giants out. The Giants came into that game, to me, at the time, I thought they were a little overconfident. Jason Pierre-Paul predicting victory. Michael Boley backing it up. So you figured that the Giant team was going to come in here a little too overconfident. But you look at the Green Bay Packers, they came out, they were rusty. They had the 8 drops, of course, the 3 fumbles. They just did not play Green Bay Packer football. And the reality is, well, in some respect they did, because the defense gave up a lot of yardage the way they've had throughout the course of this season. But offensively, Aaron Rodgers and his offense made a lot of mistakes, and those mistakes were fumbles. Those fumbles, 3 big fumbles, 3 big fumbles in that football game, 3 big fumbles. And those fumbles were one of the reasons why the Green Bay Packers are going home. They are the reason why the Green Bay Packers are going home. Those fumbles are one of the reasons why. The Giants defense is another reason why. They got a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, forced Aaron Rodgers out of pocket numerous times. And Aaron Rodgers was doing a lot of running in this particular football game. Ran the ball a lot in this game, and the Giants got pressure on him. They definitely got some pressure on him. Ran the ball 7 times for 66 yards. So he got out of pocket a lot. And that was a byproduct of the Giants getting pressure on him. 4 sacks for the New York Giants in that particular football game. But you look at this game, and to me it comes down to the turnovers, the 3 fumbles, of course. I mean, you can't win when you're turning the football over like that. 4 turnovers, actually, in that particular football game. You can't win. You cannot win when you turn the ball over 4 times in a game. You can't win. And they pick the worst time to play their worst game, or one of their worst games. You can argue that their worst game was against the Kansas City Chiefs, where they were undefeated at the time, and their undefeated streak had ended there. But you could argue that this was one of the worst games they played, and they picked the worst time to do it. They picked the worst time to do it. You can't turn the football over that many times. You cannot turn the football over that many times. You can't do it. You cannot turn the football over that many times and expect to have success. It's just not going to happen, especially in these playoffs. You cannot turn the ball over 4 times. You can't do it. And because teams are so evenly matched at this time of the season, this time of the year. Teams are so evenly matched. The Giants are in the playoffs for a reason. And another team that turned the football over a lot were the New Orleans Saints. They turned the football over a lot. You cannot win when you turn the football over that many times. I mean, they turned the football over 5 times. You lose the turnover battle, you lose the football game more often than not. You lose the turnover battle, you lose the football game more often than not. And that's what happened in those 2 games in a lot of ways. They turn the football over. Turnovers were the reason. And the Texans, I mean, T.J. Yates, do 3 interceptions against the Baltimore Ravens. 3 interceptions. Again, he turned the football over. He turned the football over. And they have 4 turnovers in all. You cannot turn the football over 4 times and expect to win a playoff game. And that's what they did with the Texans. They turned the football over. They turned the football over. They turned the football over 4 times. The Texans did. The Saints 5 times. And the Packers 4 times. And guess what? Those 3 teams are home watching the rest of the National Football League season. They're home watching the rest of the playoffs, just like you and just like me. The reason is they turned the football over. And I want to go back to the best game of the weekend, and that was the 49ers and New Orleans Saints. And again, I had the 49ers winning that football game, but I didn't have the 49ers scoring 36 points. I didn't have the Saints scoring 32 points, for that matter. I didn't think both of these teams would score these amount of points. I mean, they put up a lot of points in this game. But you look at it, turnovers were a big reason, were a part of it. But also, you look at it, Alex Smith made plays. And that's what it comes down to, Alex Smith making the plays. And I know throughout the course of this season, I was saying that I didn't think Alex Smith could make the type of plays that he made against the New Orleans Saints defense. And granted, the New Orleans Saints defense is not a very good defense. It's not a very good defense. Defense actually stinks. They give up a lot of points. It's just the past few weeks and during their run where they were putting up a lot of numbers, a lot of those numbers were in the dome. And offensively, they were putting up big-time numbers, but the teams were scoring points against them too. Teams were scoring points. But you look at it. You did not expect. You could have expected maybe Drew Brees of 462 yards, 4 touchdowns, but you did not expect Alex Smith, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown, so 4 touchdowns in all. He accounted for 4 touchdowns and 299 yards passing, close to 300, basically 300 yards passing. You didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. And that was the biggest part of that football game. That was the part of the game that really surprised me, was how the 49ers were able to score the amount of points that they did. They scored a lot of points in that game, and I didn't expect it. You look at it now, you figure after Darren Sproles scored that touchdown, put the Saints up 24-23, you figured the game was over. But Alex Smith brought the team down, had a beautiful run, a great play call, the beautiful run to put the Saints, not the Saints, the 49ers up 29-24, and then Drew Brees, as Drew Brees likes to do, came back, big 66-yard pass to Jimmy Graham, and you figure at that point, New Orleans up 32-29, they get the two-point conversion, you figure the game is over. But Alex Smith came right back, big pass to Vernon Davis to put him deep in the Saints territory, and then Alex Smith with the big pass to Vernon Davis to win the football game and to send the 49ers to the NFC Championship game. What a surprising, shocking situation. And oh, by the way, what is it about these 49ers catching these big passes? Terrell Owens many years back. Of course, you had Dwight Clark before that, but you had Terrell Owens and then Vernon Davis. What is it with these guys, Terrell Owens and Vernon Davis, crying? What is it with the Niners scoring these touchdowns late in the games and crying? What is this all? What's that all about? There's no crying in football. What is that all about? But anyway, two big plays by Vernon Davis and ultimately the 49ers beat the person I'm about to bring in, his team, the New Orleans Saints. Let's bring in now 11-time Pro Bowler, 2012 Hall of Fame finalist, the great Willie Rowe. Willie, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. And let's start right there with the 49ers and Saints last week.
Well, the bottom line is this. When you score 30 on the road in the playoff game, you should win the game. I remember when I first got to Kansas City in 2002, and we scored 30 points in four games and then win them and on the road. And when you score that many points, you got to win the game. But, I give the 49ers credit for them being able to score more points than the Saints. But I don't understand what you're doing when you got a No, you got nobody over the top of Vernon Davis. I mean, you can't sit there and let the man beat you the whole game and keep right. having one-on-one with Michael, the safety on him. He couldn't cover him. So if that's the guy that's beat me, because nobody else is beating you deep, you're going to continually let him beat you the whole game? I mean, it didn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't, put a safety over the top and do something to box him in. You know, I'm not gonna let one guy beat me. You know, and that's basically what happened. They let Vernon Davis have a great day. He hasn't played like that against a lot of teams this year. I mean, he goes out and has 160, 180. Oh, you come on! He's a tight end.
And seven catches, 180 yards, and two touchdowns. And he was big throughout that whole football game. And to your point, you're right. You would think that there would be the double coverage on Vernon Davis in that particular situation.
Some type of double coverage, some type of bracket on him. I mean, who else is going to go? Who else is going to go? Which was Crabtree or they let Braylon Edwards go. He wasn't doing anything. You got Crabtree and you got some young receivers over there. I mean, they weren't making any huge plays. You got Terry Ginn. Piggy Jr., I don't know if he was hurt.
He was hurt.
So your fast receiver's hurt, okay? Your burner's hurt who drop balls. Or they don't use him like that anyway. You got Crabtree who still hadn't done a lot in the league. And you got a little tight end explode like that. And the way they played it, it didn't make I want to switch some stuff up. I mean, and they'll have a lot of time to think about what happened. But, I think they're getting a real good D coordinator, getting Smack Noye in there. When the Giants won the Super Bowl, he was on that team, and he was the D coordinator. And they will blitz, but I liked the way he was when he was coaching with the job he did. So I like what Greg Williams does, but I think he takes a lot of chances – and leaves a lot of guys, you know, free one-on-one out there. And the Saints defense is, it played good, but don't break attitude. But I just think they've been giving up too much.
Right, and they broke big time against the 49ers. And you look at it, you figure after Jimmy Graham scores that touchdown, put them up 32-29, you figured the game was over. I didn't think Alex Smith could get to drive him back down the field.
And what did he drive, 85 yards or something?
He drove, what was that drive? Let me look at it.
We're talking about the 49ers, man.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that was a long drive. It was a long drive. You're right. I mean, there's really no getting around it. I mean, it's the San Francisco 49ers were able. Alex Smith was able to drive down the field. I mean, you're up 3 points. You're up 3 points. Alex Smith was able to drive his team down the field. Alex Smith was able to do it down the field. And that was 85 yards. That was an 85-yard drive. And it was a minute 37 seconds on the clock when the 49ers got the ball.
Is that what the NFL – and that's what the NFL wants, right? I mean, come on. It's got to be some defense. I don't understand. Like you said, I don't understand what's going on. The Saints have been doing it. But if you look it up right now, have the 49ers scored 30 points all year? I don't know if they have.
Let's look at that. Let's look at that real quickly. You look at the 49ers. They scored 33 against Seattle week one.
After
they put
week
up 48 against Tampa in week five.
Tampa, that wasn't a real game.
And they put up 34 week 17 against the St. Louis Rams. So they did it three times.
Okay.
Three times. Not a lot. And not enough for you to think or say that they would – or would be able to go 85 yards. It's bad enough, you were up three. It's bad enough they got into field goal range. At that point, you're willing to concede a field goal, but they were able to score a touchdown in that situation. And Alex Smith is not supposed to do that, but he did. And give Alex Smith a lot of credit because he did it. He did it. And the 49ers are in the NFC title game. And Willie, another game last week we looked at, the Broncos. We talked about that length, the Broncos and Patriots. I mean, I thought it would be a little closer. I knew the Patriots would win, but I thought it would be a little closer. But, I mean, Tom Brady was amazing.
We talked about this, and last week I told you that I thought the Saints could maybe get beat. I thought the Giants could beat Green Bay. It would be easier than the other game. But what's called it? He wasn't ready for that stage, and he just their young team, their defense gave up a lot in that game also, and I mean it was gonna be a hard thing for them to be able to go in there and beat the New England Patriots the way Tom Brady wanted to prove something. And that defense showed up. Granted, it was a team that they had played, and they knew they could get after them, and they got after Tebow pretty good.
They did, and you look at it. I mean, Tom Brady had 6 touchdowns, but he could have had more. If they wanted more, he could have got more.
Yes, I agree with you. If they wanted more, they could have got more. But they went up and down. And Gronkowski had another big game, and they played excellent football game. Now they got Baltimore coming in, and they need to expose them in the passing game also. And I don't know what Ed Reed was thinking about, but I guess the team or some guys, because other guys must have been questioning for Ed Reed. To come out and question the quarterback
on
a little interview like that. Obviously, some guys in the locker room had some concern about Flacco this week, and they wanted to put a fire up underneath him. That's the only reason Ed Reed does that, is because he's got a gist for the locker room, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and he wanted to light a fire in the Flacco. That's not done by accident.
and you look at it, I mean, a guy like Ray Lewis and a guy like Ed Reed, if those guys are doing the talking, you can't really – you can't say anything when those guys are talking, because those guys are one of the reasons why you are in the AFC title game. So you're – I think I agree with you there. I think you have a point there. I think that that wasn't done by accident. That was not done by accident. It was put out there, like you said, to light a fire under Joe Flacco. And we'll see if it does light a fire under Joe Flacco, because he was not very good against the Texans. And you look at that game, and this is a side note, but if Matt Schaub was there, the way that Texans defense played in that game and has been playing throughout the course of the season, the Texans may be in the AFC title game playing against the Patriots.
Maybe. And let's not put it all on Flacco. That offensive line was getting his butt whooped. They were getting their butt whooped up front. Okay, he got sacked 5 times, and when he dropped back, it wasn't like a lot of them were cover sacks. He was dropping back, and then when he was getting hit, and they were swarming him. So I'm gonna get that check. I'm gonna get with Mario Williams going down, with everything that happened, the way that Texas D line is played in this playoffs, almost got them to the AFC Championship, but they have played very, very well.
They have, and it's unfortunate if you're a Texans fan. They're unfortunate for the Texans because they had a lot of injuries throughout the course of the season, and they got pretty far. I mean, not only did they lose their number one quarterback, but they lost their number two quarterback and Matt Leinart. And Matt Leinart hasn't, you know, been a big-time quarterback in this league, but, I mean, I think you would rather have Matt Leinart than T.J. Yates in that particular situation. Not sure how much of a difference it would make, but I think in that situation, you would rather have Leinart there. But, give the Texans a lot of credit. Willie, and you look at another game, the Giants and Packers, and in a game you said that the Giants had a very good chance of winning. I, on the other hand, thought the Giants would get blown out. I was obviously very wrong. The Packers came out. They were rusty, 8 drops. They were sloppy, 3 fumbles, and they played like the 9-7 team in that game. And you made an interesting point last week, I believe, this was off the air, obviously. You were saying that the Packers may have been a tired team and may have been a team affected by the death of Joe Philbin's son, the team's offensive coordinator. Talk about that.
I just think psychologically it had an impact on them, because you got to think about it. We weren't talking about a kid that was like, 5 or 10 or something happened to him, at really young age they really didn't know. We're talking about a 21-year-old young man, and he's been on that coaching staff for a while. So these players have been around this young man at banquets and stuff, and they've seen him grow up. I think he's been on there for a while, so they've been hanging out with this kid since he was 15, 16, and they've watched this young man grow up, as his son, around the football team. And me going back on my experience, especially in college, watching my head coach's sons from when they're kids to now watching them grow. One of them even had a trial with the Giants. And to my last year in the league, he went to Tennessee. I mean, those kids have been a part of their team, part of me, and I'm part of my life. It's always maturing. So I think it affects guys more than you think it does, because this young man has probably been coming around that team a lot in the offseason, hanging out. They know him. It's a personal relationship. And I also think that the fact that they had the big season last year, and it seemed like after the Chiefs beat them, they weren't the same. After
right.
The Chiefs beat the 49ers, I mean, they came back and played good, but I think they got exposed some, and I think that offensive line, I don't know how long Chad Clifton had been back, but they threw him in for the big playoff game, and he was rusty. And they were getting beat up front. So same thing the Giants did. The Giants did the week before. They were able to get to the quarterback.
Right.
They dropped some balls. And Eli Manning has been amazing this year. And while we were praising these other guys, Eli Manning has put together a stellar year, and he's still doing it.
Definitely, and he did say in the offseason that he was an elite quarterback, and he has played like an elite quarterback throughout the course of the season and in these playoffs. And, Willie, let's go to the other team in New York, and that is the New York Jets. LaDainian Tomlinson came out this week and talked about the Mark Sanchez Santonio Holmes rift. And he said it was the worst he's ever seen. The rift was nicknamed the East Coast, West Coast beef. You look at the situation, LaDainian's not sure these two could coexist next year, but you look at Santonio Holmes, and we talked about it numerous times here. He's guaranteed $7.75 million this year, and if he's on the roster after February 8th, he is guaranteed an additional $7.5 million. So you're talking about $14.25 million there. Santonio more than likely will be back, and Sanchez probably will be back. So
I don't think you
can they work it?
I don't think
can they work this thing out?
I don't think you can cut him. So they've been beefing for a while. What LaDainian is saying, it's been going on a lot of the season. Then it just didn't start.
Right.
Well, that could explain part of the reason why Sanchez wasn't playing as well, because if you've been babying him, and now you have the quarterback and the receiver beefing with each other, then that could explain some things. But bottom line is this: the NFL is a league for grown men. If you can't handle it, and you can't handle guys calling you out on your team or not calling you out, but expecting you to do more, and you're not producing, and basically Santonio is probably upset because he wasn't able to get his numbers, and he's not able to go to the Pro Bowl, okay? Because bottom line, Santonio wants to keep making the big check, and he wants Mark Sanchez to throw him the ball.
Right.
And if Mark Sanchez can't throw him the ball down the field, he's hurting him for feeding
right.
his family. So I think the one that's held more accountable, I mean, I hate to say it, I think Mark Sanchez is a great guy. I think he's a good guy. But he just wasn't playing well. And they got to address the quarterback position. So before Santonio Holmes is going anyway, because we know what Santonio Holmes has done in the playoffs. We know what he's done in the Super Bowl game with Big Ben in Pittsburgh. If anybody would have to go or the position, they got to address more. They got to address the quarterback position before I let Santonio Holmes go.
Well, like I said before, I mean, guaranteed $7.75 million, an additional $7.5 million. I said 14. That's $15.25 million, I believe. So, I mean, it seems like to me these two are either, A, going to have to work it out, or, B, they're probably going to have to get a new quarterback. Because of the money he's making, I don't see them getting rid of him.
And Santonio's still a real good football player. Outside of the money, he's still a real good football player. But you got to be able to get the ball down the field. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched all the film. Watched Santonio get. Is he getting separation? Is he open? Is he not getting the ball to him? I'm not watching the games that close. But Santonio Holmes is a proven player. Santonio Holmes has done it in the Super Bowl. He's done it in a lot of big games. So the bottom line is you got to get the ball down the field to him. But he's got to grow up, and I understand that Mark Sanchez was having a rough year last year. You can't lock your quarterback and then put him in the front and you expect him to throw you the football, and it's not going to help the team. So, you know, Mark's got to understand what he's in the NFL, man. You're not
right.
just going to keep your job because you were the poster boy, you got drafted high, and you got to the team to the AFC Championship. He has done that, and the defense didn't play as well this year. But you know, he's got to play better. You know, and they got to bring another veteran quarterback. If they don't, you know, I know everybody's talking about Peyton Manning. They got to bring in another veteran quarterback when he's not playing well. They got to be able to go to another option.
You're right. I mean, I think there has to be somebody in there to at least push him some. And Willie, you've been in many NFL locker rooms throughout the course of your career. Have you seen a situation like this where a quarterback and receiver not getting along? And do quarterbacks get catty in a way where they're not going to throw a guy a ball because they're not getting along with him?
Well, I mean, no. First of all, I haven't seen. No, I haven't been in the locker room where a receiver would do that with a quarterback. Because if he does get into it with him, he still got to go out there and play with him. So you would think that he wouldn't do that because you got to depend on him to throw you the ball. So first of all, but you're talking about a team that's gotten to the AFC Championship 2 years in a row. You're talking about Mark Sanchez, who's had issues over the few years of throwing the ball and doing this. So this isn't the first time. So, you know, I can see where Sanchez is coming from, but you would think most receivers that I've been around are going to try to be the friendliest they can be with the quarterback because they depend on him to get in the ball. But I guess as the year went on and Santonio Holmes wasn't getting the ball, I guess he just got fed up with it and just said, forget it, and just went, you know. They said he just was acting childish or whatever, but he's got to understand he's a pro. He's making a hell of a lot of money. And just because they give you the contract don't mean you can walk around and pout and do what you want to do. So you got some issues. You got to bring that situation together, but you still got to bring in a veteran quarterback. So if Mark Sanchez is not playing well, you got another option to go to. And if he gets a chance to come back in the lineup and play, you know, if he earns that right, then that's fine. But if he doesn't, I got to have another option I can go to. I know Mark Brunell is like more like a coach. You know, he's getting a little older. You know, he's been in the league. Hell, he came out with me. So he's been in the league, you know, 17 years or whatever. So you got to get some veteran quarterback that can play, that can spare you if Sanchez isn't playing well.
And I totally agree with you. And I think at this point, you look at Mark Sanchez, I've said this before, I don't think they can win a championship with him as their quarterback unless they can get a great running game around them. And they haven't done that. They didn't do that this year. And that is one of the reasons they failed as well. So you look at the Jets, I mean, like we said before, should be an interesting offseason with the New York Jets. And real quickly on that situation, they also talked about, LaDainian also talked about the culture in the locker room and how Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum, the GM, they kind of encouraged this type of thing. Do you think Rex pulls back on that this year, or that is who he is? Next year, I should say?
Well, I think Rex needs to get the locker room together, and that's the when you have a coach, obviously we know Rex has an ego. Obviously, the thing that I didn't like is, as soon as the season's over and they didn't have a good year, I see the team in Rex Ryan on a commercial, on that Diet Pepsi commercial, whatever. I'm not playing on a good team. We don't need to be shooting no commercials together. You know what I mean? We don't need to be on no commercial. We need to be worried about getting this together over here. But I did see a lot of players in that, the tackles and Mark Sanchez and some of the guys in the commercial, but that's the last team that need to be on the commercial because they haven't done anything. So I think they need to go back to playing football, put all these egos, and Rex too, put all these egos aside. Let's go back to and forget all this hard knocks and all this other crap. Let's go back to playing sound football. Let's keep our mouth shut, and let's go out here and work hard and get better. And let's make it football only, and let's let the media take all of our stuff out of it, because I think with a coach talking and doing all that, and the defense is getting older too, so we don't know if Bart Scott going to be back or not on the defense side of the ball. They're getting a little older too. Let's address these issues in offseason, get some young blood in there, get some players in there, but we got to get these egos in check, and the head coach doesn't need to be calling out teams and doing all that stuff. He needs to be the head coach and bringing it together and guys seeing that. Because, obviously, Santonio Holmes thought he could get away with it. He did it. So, and nothing was said about it until last week. I mean, obviously, Coach Ryan had an issue with this during the whole course of the season. If he said he didn't know the gist of the locker room, that's a lie there, too. He knows what's going on in that locker room.
We're talking to 11-time Pro Bowler in 2012. Hall of Fame finalist Willie Rofe. And Willie, let's go back to the teams who are involved in championship weekend, and let's start with the 49ers and New York Giants. Alex Smith, we talked about it last week, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, accounted for 4 touchdowns, including the 1 rushing touchdown. Last time he played the Giants, he put up 242 yards. My question to you is, can Alex Smith put up the same type of numbers he put up against the Saints, against this Giants defense, a Giants defense that had 17 sacks during their four-game winning streak. So can Alex Smith do it again?
No, and I'm going to tell you why. For number one, the weather's not going to be great. It's raining right now. It's going to be wet. And he's not going to be able to throw the ball. They're going to have to rely more on Frank Gore. And I don't see them going out there running the ball like that on the Giants anyway. I think Canty's better. He's going to play. I think Eli Manning can put up more, be more productive because he's got better receivers. So I think the Giants win this game in Candlestick because I don't think Alex Smith will be able to, in this, under the circumstances. And they're not going to let Vernon Davis beat him. It's going to have to be somebody we ain't heard of out there wide out doing it. So I don't think they let Vernon Davis go be, do what the Saints let him do last week. So I don't think he puts up those numbers this week.
And I look at this football game and I say to myself, both of these teams stopped the run pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yes, they do. And
so it's
going to
come down to quarterback play.
Exactly. It's
who's
come
got
back
the better quarterback?
And also, who has the better defense on some level? And also, I want to
look
at
who's got the better receivers?
The Giants definitely have the better receivers. Giants definitely have the better skill positions. Running game, you can give the edge to the 49ers for Frank Gore.
I can't give it, but they got two backs. We got Brandon Jacobs and Bradshaw.
Frank Gore has had a very good year. I think let's say it's a wash. We'll call that a wash.
Okay, but when it's wet and outside and it's slick out there, I got big Brandon Jacobs this 230, 240 coming down here. So, hey, it's a wash. And then I got Bradshaw. So they got a double head monster with the Giants. I can't get a Vegas running back to San Francisco either. Not with those two guys. They both been in the Super Bowl too,
and we're looking at the first time these two teams played. Bradshaw was injured; he did not play in that game. And you look at it, the Niners did hold the Giants under 100 yards in total in rushing. Giants rushed for 93 yards in that particular game. Again, Bradshaw didn't play, so it's a different situation. We're also at a different time of the year, and also conversely with the Niners, they did not run the ball very well in that game either. But one thing the Niners were able to do, and one thing that I think this game is going to come down to, is turnovers. Last time they were able to intercept Eli Manning two times. So can they do it? You say no, obviously. But you look at this Niners defense, they create a lot of turnovers. They get after the quarterback. I don't know, Willie. I mean, I understand you like the Giants here and saying that Manning – obviously,
it's
the best.
It's
going
to come down to quarterback play. The weather's bad. The weather is raining right now up here. The weather's going to be wet and it's going to be balls going to be slick. Under the circumstances, I think the quarterback, the team with more experience, the Giants, the quarterback with more experience, the Giants. The positions and been together long with the Giants. We got the same core group that's been together for a while against a team that's not been there, that doesn't have the experience. I think that prevails in this game. I'm saying the Giants beat them at home.
And I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think I'm going to go with the 49ers here. I think this is a team right now that's playing some good football, a team that just has that something
okay.
about them. They have that something about them right now.
The team, it can't be that much different for a team that goes from wasn't even hardly winning the same team. I mean, how does Singletary feel to making it to the Super Bowl? I mean, that's just too big a turnaround.
And then you look at it, it is in San Francisco. This is a very good team at home. I don't know, Willie. I think I'm going to go with the 49ers here.
So, well, I'm going with the Giants. The Giants have the experience. So, what we're saying is the Giants have the experience. The Giants have a defense that can stop them, okay? So, what you're saying, the Giants will have to turn the ball over. The 49ers are going to have to make a few big plays to beat the Giants. So, what you're saying is the team with not the least experience, the team with the quarterback that can't throw the ball down the field, and we know how big you got Millingham, you got Cruz, you got Millingham, Cruz, who's the other receiver you got?
Nicks.
You got Nicks. You got three go-to receivers, And you're telling me the Giants are going to be able to make some big plays? And I can guarantee you this. The Niners won't score more than 20 points against the Giants tomorrow. We'll do it.
Let's look. I mean, let's. We're talking about Eli. And, you know, Eli, yes, has had a great year for the New York Giants.
How's Eli been playing the last month and a half?
Eli has played like an elite quarterback, one of the better quarterbacks in the game. I'll give you that. I will give you that, and I can't argue with that. But let's look at his. We see Eli this year, but let's look at Eli, you know, last year. Let's look at the Eli last year, the guy who threw all those interceptions last year.
This isn't the same Eli.
Hold on, but I'm saying this. This 49er team can force turnovers, and Eli Manning was intercepted two times by this Niners team last time they played. Two times. He was intercepted twice. So what I'm saying is this. Eli, 25 interceptions last year, threw 16 interceptions this year. Not a lot, not as much as last year, but there is a history there, and he is prone to turn the football over. So to me, the wet conditions, this 49ers defense, and that it that the 49ers seem to have right now.
They're not going to be able to cover all those guys the whole game. And I'm going to tell you this. Eli has that it, and Eli has something to prove. And I want to see New England and the New York Giants in a repeat in the Super Bowl. And I think New England wins the game. They got Brian Waters, and that offensive line for New England has to have something to prove because they took a whooping back in 2007, and they let the Giants beat them. In that Super Bowl, they had that undefeated season. And I want to see a repeat of New England Patriots versus the New York Giants.
And I think the Patriots will take care of that end, but I don't see the Giants taking care of that.
I got the Giants and I got the Patriots.
And let's look at the Ravens-Patriots game. Is this a Ravens team? You know, they hold quarterbacks under 200 yards passing a game. They're fourth against the pass. This is a team.
What happened?
This is a team that's given up the second fewest yards to tight ends, the second fewest touchdowns to tight ends, and the sixth fewest receptions to tight ends. No tight end has had more than 73 yards against the Baltimore Ravens. Will this Ravens defense shut down?
If you key on Gronkowski, we'll go to Hernandez. We still got Hernandez. We still got Ocho Cinco. Ain't he on the roster? I haven't seen him. We didn't Ocho Cinco still on that roster? Now he can have a big game. We got Deion Branch. We got Wes Welker. We got too many weapons for you to stop all of them. Now, the offensive line for the New England has done a great job. Both guards are going to the Pro Bowl. I say that the tackles have to protect. The only way Baltimore will win this game is if they can put pressure on the quarterback. It's not going to come from up the middle. It's got to come from Suggs and the other guy on the end. That's going to be a great matchup to see how Brian and the other guy play against him, number 92.
Nada.
They got to put pressure on the quarterback. So this game, to me, is going to be won on both sides of the ball up front. So I give the advantage to the New England Patriots because I think that line has a lot more experience. I think Tom Brady is just too many weapons. And we did see the Ravens on a couple games give it up this year, too. They went to, the Texans and got to the Tennessee and got beat. They haven't been exposed with the secondary.
Seattle
they got exposed in Seattle. I see New England having a big day against them in the air.
So you see, you don't see them shutting down Tom Brady?
No, hell no, no.
And that comes to the next question: Joe Flacco. Ed Reed has come out against Joe Flacco, says he needs to play better football.
I'm fired up. I'm trying to get at them. He's already – he got a teammate calling him out. He's rattled already. His own teammates calling him out. I'm trying to come at him.
But you talk about, you know, the Patriots having a lot to prove. Joe Flacco has a lot to prove in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not saying the Ravens are going to win this game because I think the Patriots are going to win. So let's get that clear before I make my point here. But you look at Joe Flacco, you have in the offseason Lamar Woodley saying that the Ravens will never win with Joe Flacco as the quarterback. You have Ed Reed this week coming out against Joe Flacco. A lot of criticism has been leveled at Joe Flacco throughout the course of this season. I think it's all justified. And I'm not saying Joe Flacco has had a great year because he hasn't. And you look at his numbers, they are very Alex Smith-like in a lot of ways. But so I look at Joe Flacco, a guy that has a lot to prove. He has a lot to prove here. I don't think he'll prove it, but he has a lot to prove. So, I mean, is it possible the Patriots' defense is not very good? Is it possible they don't stop the run? So that could be to his benefit. He could have the benefit of a run game in this particular football game. Could the Ravens stick with the Patriots? Could they score some points against the Ravens?
And they have a deep threat. They got the kid that will go deep. They do have
Torrey Smith,
Anton Bowden. They do have weapons. They have the young kid they tight end. They do have weapons.
Ray Rice, of course.
Ray Rice is a do-it-all guy who if Ray Rice gets in the rhythm, I mean, he can catch the screen pass, he can catch the ball out the backfield, he can do it all. But I don't think it will be enough against the Patriots. I think they'll come up with a scheme to get after Flacco, and I think Flacco might play decent in this game, but he's going to end up making a few mistakes. And when he makes a mistake, then they're going to take advantage of it.
And also, I don't
know what he's doing with that mustache, with the wood chop or whatever he's doing, but he needs to shave it too.
He probably should shave that. That's not really a good look. That's kind of an old man type of look. But you look at it, you look at the situation. This is probably Ray Lewis's last opportunity. This is probably his last opportunity, maybe last opportunity for a lot of these guys here. You don't think that'll be enough to motivate and help this Ravens team beat this New England Patriots ball club?
I think it's too much for New England. They slow them down. They slow them down some. They still going to score 30.
And it's kind of hard to argue with that. It really is hard to argue with that.
They might slow them down a little bit. They still going to score 30. You're not going to be able to hold that New England team down for the whole game. You can't hold them down.
I agree with you. I don't see the Ravens being
able to. And I don't see the 49ers slowing Eli Manning down all day.
I think under wet conditions,
advantage Giants.
I do see this 49ers team slowing Eli Manning down. Eli did have over 300 yards the first time they played, but to me it's going to come down to turnovers.
Who's got the most weapons? Who's got the better players?
Giants?
Who's got the experience?
Giants?
What team has experience?
Well, let's look at it this way. You look at the Saints last week. I mean,
they're not the same defense. What are we talking about during the course of the year? I said, whoever's team is going to start playing defense toward the end and in the playoffs will have a better chance. And exactly what we said, because Green Bay and the New Orleans Saints are the poster boy for running gun offense, throwing the ball up and down the field, and not playing any defense, and both got eliminated from the playoffs.
But you look at it. One of the reasons the 49ers were able to win that game was the turnovers. They forced 5 turnovers in that particular ball game, and I think they will do much the same. I'm not saying 5, but they'll get at least 3.
Are you saying the Giants don't force turnovers and they don't hit you in the mouth too?
The Giants do force turnovers.
Okay, thank you.
But Alex Smith, one thing he has done throughout the course of the season is protect the football. So I'll say this. To me, you look at it, the 49ers, one of the reasons they beat the Saints because they caused 5 turnovers in that particular football game. They're going to cause at least 3 turnovers in this game. Eli will throw at least 2 interceptions in this game, and the 49ers, that will be enough for the 49ers.
We're predicting interceptions now. We're predicting
Eli will have 2 interceptions in this particular game, and that will be enough.
I'm gonna start calling you Nostradamus. But listen, Nostradamus. They will now. He's not gonna throw two interceptions since we're predicting interceptions. And I say Alex Smith throws two picks before Eli throws two picks.
We can only look at history. Last time these two teams played, Eli threw two interceptions.
This is a different Eli Manning. Okay, we will have this conversation. Let's let the games play out. I have New England and New York Giants in the Super Bowl. You have New England and you have the San Francisco 49ers, and we will see how this plays out.
We shall see how it plays out. We definitely shall see. Should be a good week of football. And let me also make another point before I let you go. The last time the Niners did play Frank Gore, last time the Giants played the Niners, Frank Gore was not 100% at that point. So, and also look at Alex Smith one more time. 17 touchdowns throughout the course of the regular season. Only 5 interceptions. The guy has protected the football throughout the course of this year.
That's great, but the guy has not stretched the field. So for the 49ers to win this game, he's going to have to stretch the field somewhat. And who does he have to stretch the field with? Are you going to see Crabtree show up, or he's one of the young guys? Who's he going to stretch the field with?
The New Orleans Saints would tell you otherwise. Because
that's a tight end. That's Vernon Davis. He was catching 10 yards. Hey, that was yacht yards. That was yards after the catch. I mean, you go to the tight end, catch some ball, and run 30, 40 yards?
Look at it. I mean, he had that beautiful throw, I believe that was earlier in the game.
Come on,
throw down the sidelines there to Vernon Davis. That was a beautiful
Vernon Davis
pass.
Is not going
to
beat him. Vernon Davis, let's cancel him out. That's like having a guy, and he's the only option scoring on the basketball team, like a Kobe Bryant. Well, they got bite him a little bit. But Kobe went 11 for 22 last night, scored 30. The rest of the team was only shooting like 30%. And so Vernon Davis is not going to be. Let's put an X around Vernon Davis. You're going to go to someone else, not Vernon Davis. He will not beat the Giants. He will not beat the Giants like he beat the New Orleans Saints. And when they left Malcolm Jenkins on him, Malcolm Jenkins looked like a Pro Bowler, and then they made him look like he was a backup last week. Malcolm Jenkins, Vernon Davis will not beat the New York Giants by himself as he did with Alex Smith last week. It will have to be some other option they're going to have to go to beat him. And when Alex Smith starts going to his third and fourth options, I will say that Alex Smith is a real quarterback and he has grown. But I have to see him do it. And I do not see them having anybody who will be able to stretch the field regardless if Vernon Davis catches a few balls. Somebody's got to be able to catch the ball other than Vernon Davis.
And we shall see. But I think, again, what this will come down to. And let's look at last week's games. The reason the New York Giants are here, four turnovers by the Packers. The reason the 49ers are here, 5 turnovers by the New Orleans Saints. The reason that the Ravens are here, 4 turnovers by the Texans.
If you take one of them turnovers that the Saints had early, and that was a good hit on Sproles, and then Drew Brees was shaky a little early in the game with a couple picks. If you take away one of those turnovers, the Saints win the game. Win the game. But I figured that I said it was just like when I was playing for New Orleans, and it was just the opposite with the 49ers. We were the team that was hitting you in the mouth. It could out-physical you, and they were the finesse team. And when they went up there to they played right into the hands. They got hit in the mouth, and they couldn't deal with it early. And then it was too late because they let the 49ers, they let Alex Smith, and they let the tight end have an all-pro day. Looked like he was Shannon Sharp out there in some of them playoff games for Baltimore. And they let him look like Shannon Sharp. And go up and down the field, it won't happen again.
This has been the year of the tight end, Gronkowski and Hernandez in New England. Vernon Davis thus far in these playoffs.
Vernon Davis didn't do it in the regular season.
He didn't do it in the regular season. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Jimmy Graham with the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, you can't compare Vernon Davis to none of them.
Gronkowski
and Jimmy Graham, let's put them up in the Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, let's put them up here in another group. Well, that's not – Hernandez got used – the last game he got used was Denver. When they went to Denver in the regular season, and he went off for a bunch of catches. Let's put these two guys up here, and let's put Vernon Davis a little lower because he hadn't done it this year.
But this has been the year of the tight end. This has been the year of the tight end. We haven't seen tight ends put up these kind of crazy numbers the way they're putting it up this year. This has been the year of the tight end, and you look at it, the 49ers have the better tight end than Vernon Davis.
You telling me Vernon Davis is better than Gronkowski?
I'm talking about in terms of the Giants. They have a better tight end. They have a better tight end.
I agree with you. The total advantage to the tight end is to the 49ers, but he won't have that impact on the game. You're telling me you think he's going to have another 2 touchdowns, even 150 yards? No, he does not have that impact this week, and that's going to be the difference in the game. Because Alex Smith is going to have to go to some other guys other than Vernon Davis. I'm not letting Vernon Davis beat me.
But I'll tell you this. It's going to come down to turnovers. And you look at this game, you look at it throughout the course of these playoffs, turnovers has been the difference. And you look at it, the 49ers caused a lot of turnovers. They caused five last week against Drew Brees. And I see him causing 3 turnovers against the Giants this week, and that will be the difference. We'll see what happens. We shall see. We'll definitely, as always, we'll talk about it next week. But I like the 49ers and the New England Patriots, and you like the Giants and Patriots. So we'll see what happens.
We will see.
Willie, as always, a pleasure.
Okay. All right. And I look forward to talking to you next week, Nostradamus.
You will be talking to the great Nostradamus next week. It will be very exciting and very to see the 49ers turn the Giants over at least 3 times, and that will be the difference.
Okay.
You take care.
All right, you take care too.
The great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. I like the 49ers tomorrow. I really do. And one thing that the 49ers have done throughout the course of this season, and in these playoffs, at least the first game of the playoffs, is turn teams over. They have turned teams over. And the turnover game has been big in these playoffs. Turnovers have played a big role in these playoffs. And you look at it. You look at it. The 49ers cause turnovers. They cause turnovers. They get after you. With that defensive line, Alden Smith, Justin Smith, those guys get after you. They get after you. And you look at it. And they were tied for the league lead in turnovers, in creating turnovers. 38. They created 38 turnovers. This team will make you turn the football over. The New York Giants and Eli Manning, yes, he's had a good year this year. Yes, he has played like an elite quarterback. He's played the way he said he would play. He said he was an elite quarterback. He's played that way. But he is a year removed from 25 interceptions. A year removed from 25 interceptions. You can say the same thing about Alex Smith on some level. But Alex Smith has a totally different coaching staff and a totally different situation. The Giants are pretty much the same. 25 interceptions, a year removed from 25 interceptions. To me, the San Francisco 49ers will get pressure on Eli. To me, the San Francisco 49ers will force Eli into 2 interceptions. And to me, the San Francisco 49ers will get at least 3 turnovers in this game, and these 3 turnovers will be the reason the San Francisco 49ers go to Indy to play the Indianapolis Colts, not the Indianapolis Colts, New England Patriots. That will be the reason. That will be the reason. The second hour of Go For It starts now. Ready to go in this second hour. Expected to be joined by Ryan Mundy of the Pittsburgh Steelers and also actor Bobby Coleman. And Bobby was one of the stars of the last song with Miley Cyrus. He also starred in a movie with John Cusack, Martian Child. So we're going to talk to him in that second hour, in the second hour, I should say. And also we're expected to be joined by Ryan Mundy of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you heard it there, that first hour, Willie Rofe and myself going back and forth. He does not believe the Niners have an opportunity. The Niners will not win against the Giants. Yes, the Giants do have the advantage in terms of the skill positions. Yes, the Giants, you look at it, their defense is playing just as good as the 49ers' defense is. I'll give you that. They have the better quarterback. I'll give you that. But Drew Brees also was a better quarterback last week against with the New Orleans Saints. He was a better quarterback. He was a better quarterback than Alex Smith on paper. But we look at it now. You look at it now. You look at this particular football game. It's going to come down to me. It's going to come down to quarterbacks because both of these teams stopped the run. But it's also going to come down to turnovers. I said it to you before. I'll say it to you again. Five reasons the Saints are home is five turnovers. Four reasons the Packers are home is four turnovers. Four reasons the Texans are home is four turnovers. You cannot turn the football over in the National Football League and expect to win and advance in the playoffs. I said it earlier in the show, I'll say it again. These teams are so equal when you get to this level. They're so equal. It's so close. They're so close. It comes down to a few plays in a lot of ways. And I look at it, the last time the Giants faced this 49er ball club, they forced two interceptions. Eli was intercepted two times by Carlos Rogers. I see much of the same this time around, two interceptions. I'm not saying Carlos Rogers gets those two interceptions, but I'm saying that Eli will throw at least two interceptions in this game. Eli will throw at least two interceptions in this game. And also, the 49ers will cause at least one fumble in this game. I like the 49ers. They just have that something about them this year. They just had that something about them. They had that something about them. But I like them this week against the New York Giants. And you look at the New York Giants, all signs are pointing to the Giants getting to the Super Bowl. And it's funny. Back in 2007, they had that game against the Patriots, a game that meant nothing to them but all the world to the Patriots as they were shooting for a 16-0 season. The Giants played the Patriots evenly. The Giants gave the Patriots fits in that particular football game. The Giants were ahead in the fourth quarter in that game. They were ahead in the fourth quarter in that game. But from there, the Giants took off in the playoffs. they took off in the front. They took off from that point. In the playoffs, they took off. And they were the sixth seed, and they made their run. They went into all these hostile situations, went into Dallas, went into Green Bay. And in doing so, they were able. And they also went into Tampa as well. And in doing so, they were able to get to the Super Bowl. They're able to get to the Super Bowl. And then you look at them this year, losing to the Packers 38-35. They gave the Packers all they could handle in that particular football game. But from there, the Giants took off, beat the Cowboys. They lost to the Giants and lost to the Redskins, in between there. But they beat the Jets. They beat the Cowboys. And then they go beat up on the Falcons. And then they go into Lambeau and beat up on the Packers. A lot of similarities from that point of view. This is a hot football team right now. A hot football team. They're playing probably the best football in the National Football League right now. The best, if not one of the best, right now. They're getting it done. They're getting it done right now. Eli, getting it done. That defense, 17 sacks during this four-game winning streak. So that defense is getting it done. They got all over Aaron Rodgers. They got all over Matt Ryan. Will they get all over Alex Smith? Will they get all over Alex Smith? We shall see. We shall see. But I like the 49ers in this game. And it's going to come down. Yes, it's going to come down to quarterbacks. But it's going to come down to turnovers as well. And I like the Giants, or the 49ers, I should say, to force at least three turnovers in this football game. At least three. At least three. At least three. And that will be the difference in this particular ball game. That will be the difference in this particular ball game. Those three turnovers will be the difference. That will be the difference in this game. And we talked about Joe Flacco and the Ravens. Ed Reed coming out against Joe Flacco, saying that he really didn't play too well. He's a little skittish out there. And you look at that. And Willie and I talked about it, and I agree with Willie. I think, you know, that was planned. That was something that they tried to do to light a fire under Joe Flacco. A lot of people have come out against Joe Flacco. A lot of people have questioned whether the Ravens can truly win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Lamar Woodley of the Pittsburgh Steelers questioned it during this offseason. You look at Flacco, his numbers, if you covered his name and covered the name of Alex Smith, the numbers are very similar. Their regular season numbers are very similar. Joe Flacco, this year, 3,600 yards passing, 57% completion percentage, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Alex Smith, on the other hand, 3,144 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, but only 5 interceptions, with a completion percentage of 61.3. The numbers are very similar between these two. Throughout the course of the season, we've called Alex Smith a game manager. And I think the same could be said about Joe Flacco. He has not grown from game manager to game changer. Alex Smith, he wasn't a game manager against the New Orleans Saints. And granted, they're two different defenses they played against. the Texans defense is a whole lot better than the Saints defense. But Alex Smith did not play like a game manager. He played like a game changer. And he made the plays, 80-yard drive and 85-yard drive. And that was enough. That was enough for the 49ers to get to this point. He made the plays. An 85-yard drive there to put the 49ers in position to beat the New Orleans Saints. 85-yard drive. 85-yard drive. 85 yards. 85-yard drive. So he had an 80-yard drive, and then he had an 85-yard drive. That's impressive. That's not the stuff of game managers. That's the stuff of game changers. And Alex Smith played like a game changer against the New Orleans Saints. He played like a game changer. We shall see. We shall see. But give Alex Smith, give the San Francisco 49ers a lot of credit. They played some good football throughout the course of this year. We shall see if it continues against the New York Giants. Let's bring in now Pittsburgh Steelers safety, Ryan Mundy. Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And Ryan, you got your first career playoff start against the Broncos. You played decent in that game. You caused two fumbles. Ultimately, it did not work out for you as you would lose to the Broncos. But what do you take from that type of game?
As far as my performance or just the overall result?
Just overall, get your first career playoff start and learning. What do you get from that?
Well, that was a big step in my career. Every time I step on the field, I'm always trying to move on an upward scale of just getting better and improving every time I get an opportunity to play. And I think I did that in that Bronco game. Unfortunately, you know, we came up short.
And looking back at that game, on paper, the Steelers were probably the more talented team, probably the better team. But Tim Tebow was able to beat you guys with the deep ball. What do you think made Tebow so effective in that game against that defense?
Going into the game, we knew that he was an athletic quarterback and he could buy time with his legs. And, that's what happened during the game. He got out the pocket a little bit, bought a little time, and really just allowed his players to make plays. It was kind of like a jump ball situation, one-on-one type situation for the most part of his long passes. So, you know, his guys were able to make the plays during that game.
And that last play, we look at it, Demaryius Thomas, 80-yard touchdown, catch and run. You and Ike Taylor were involved in that play. Tell us what happened. Take us through that play.
They had been running the ball every first down throughout the game in the same formation. And we had called, basically our run stopping defense where I was up on the line of scrimmage anticipating the run. And I was going to give, and my responsibility was to give underneath help late to Ike. And, they had a great play call on. They ran a play action, and they caught us in the right time. So.
And is that the worst you ever felt as a pro after that game and after that play?
No. I felt a lot worse after losing the Super Bowl last year.
Okay. Okay. And you look at it now, you are now a restricted free agent. You're a Pittsburgh native. You played behind Polamalu. You played behind Clark the past 3 years. So what are you looking for at this point? Are you looking to be a starter somewhere else, or are you looking to stay in Pittsburgh?
I would love to stay in Pittsburgh. That's my home. That's where I grew up at. That's where I started my career at. I don't know what the future may hold for me, but I'm always willing to give great effort and always willing to improve and get better and, with that mindset, you know, I feel like my professional career will unfold the way it should.
Okay. We're talking to Pittsburgh Steelers safety Ryan Mundy. And, Ryan, like we said, you started a playoff game this year. You ended the year with 37 tackles, one interception. How would you rate your 2011?
I know it sounds redundant, but I just feel like I'm getting better every year. Every time I step on the field, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to make plays and trying to make an impact. And this year, you know, was no different. That was my mindset. If I had an opportunity to play defense, my primary role is on special teams, and, you know, I've embraced that. And, you know, I go out there, I do what I need to do to help our team win. And, you know, I feel like I'm on the right track right now, and I'm looking for a big year next year.
And what do you need to do now in the off season to have that big year next year?
Really just continue to prepare. I think preparation has definitely helped me out, you know, because playing behind Ryan Clark and Troy, those guys give 110% every play, and you never know when one of those guys will go down. So my job is to always be ready and to prepare as if I'm a starter. Because,
right.
You know, it sounds cliche, but, you know, I'm literally one play away, and that's how I look at it. I embrace it, and, you know, with that preparation, I'm gaining the mental understanding of the game. You know, I've always felt like I had the physical too, but, you know, it's what really separates players is the mental understanding and knowing when and where to be and how to do it. You know, that's really what I'm focused on right now.
We're talking to Pittsburgh Steelers safety Ryan Mundy. And Ryan, looking at the playoffs now, three of the four final teams in the playoffs right now, you played those three teams. You played the Ravens, you played the Patriots, you played the 49ers. Looking at the Ravens and Patriots now, you guys were very effective against Brady. What do you think the Ravens need to do to be effective against Brady and those tight ends?
They got to cover. You know, that was our mindset going in. We knew that, you know, one, we needed a pass rush to get to Brady so he wasn't very comfortable back there. But also, you really gotta step up and cover those guys. Gronkowski's having a fabulous year. Hernandez is an excellent player. So, and then on top of that, they have Wes Welker, who's, you know, consistent 1,000-yard receiver. So, you know, the DBs will definitely have to really have their hairs up and ready to play ball and cover.
And how, I mean, you talked about the tight ends. How hard is to cover those two tight ends? Gronkowski is having a great year. Hernandez is putting up numbers as well. How difficult is it to cover those guys?
It was real difficult. You know, I went up against Rob Gronkowski for a good part of the game. And even when I was in good position, you know, sometimes he still made a play here and he made a play there. And when that happens, you just got to line back up and play again. And the thing is, you just got to stay consistent with them. You got to keep fighting throughout the game because they're good players, and they're going to make their handful of plays. But, you know, as long as they don't make more plays than you, you'll be all right.
And let's look at the Ravens now. This is a team you know very well. You played them twice this year. They beat you twice this year, but you know this ball club very, very well. Can they score enough points? I mean, we know the Patriots are going to put up points. Can Flacco and this Ravens offense put up enough points to win this game?
I believe so. It's not necessarily about them scoring points. It's about the defense not letting the Patriots score. And I think if they could do that, they'll definitely have a ball game. But, you know, the Ravens have their spurts here and there of when they do have a 30-point game. You know, their offense is clicking pretty well. So we'll see how it unfolds.
How do you see this one playing out?
Honestly, I haven't put any thought into it, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
But, you know, just a quick observation and assessment right now. You know, I think the Ravens defense is good enough to match up with those guys. But, you know, that offense with Brady, if they're clicking, they're going to be tough to stop. So.
Right. And you guys also played the 49ers. And Alex Smith put up some big-time numbers against the Saints last week, and ultimately the 49ers are in this NFC title game. Are you surprised that the 49ers made it this far?
Surprised, no. I think, you know, if anybody was surprised or, you know, not aware of how well they were doing throughout the years because they didn't get too much exposure, you know, West Coast team playing the late games, you know, not always on TV. So they probably weren't getting as much exposure. But, you know, we knew that they were a very good team when we played against them. They have excellent defense. Their offense is, you know, pretty simple but effective. You know, they're going to run the ball. They have excellent running back, good tight ends, and a decent wide receiver group. So, you know, their job is just to get a few points on the board and let the defense play ball.
And have you thought about much about this game? Can the 49ers continue this? Can they win this game and get to the Super Bowl?
Like I said about the other game, I haven't put any thought into it, but I just, with the long flight from New York, I think, you know, the Giants might have a little rest on them maybe. I don't know, but they're a hot team. But I think, you know, playing in San Fran, the crowd's going to be on fire. It's definitely a tough place to play, and I think San Fran might pull this one out.
Well, and I think I agree with you. I think 49ers do pull this one out. And I think mainly they will be able to cause turnovers. They cause a lot of turnovers, and that's a very, very good defense. I mean, you saw that defense very close and personal. Obviously, you didn't play against them, but how good is that defense? Just watching them.
They're an impressive group. Starts with their front seven. You know, they have excellent linebackers, but their defensive line is very good also. And I really do like their safeties. Golson's definitely an excellent player. Dante Winter's been playing very well as of lately. And, you know, those guys are physical. They get the ball out. You know, they get interceptions. And if they don't do that, they'll still hit you in the mouth. So, you know, you definitely have to respect that. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be ready to play tomorrow.
And we'll definitely see. It should be a very good football game. And, Ryan, I was reading somewhere that you were nicknamed Wonderlick. You got a perfect score on the Wonderlick test. Talk about that nickname and talk about that test. Was it hard? Was it easy?
Well, my mindset was, you know, going into it, I had to do the best at everything that they were evaluating. So I had to give my best effort and make sure that, you know, I was on top of my game for everything that I was being evaluated for because I didn't go to the combine and I didn't play in any, all-star games. So, you know, my mindset, like I said, was just to give my best effort and let the chips fall where they may. So, you know, when I took the test, I was like, hey, you know, I only answered the questions that I knew, but every question I answered, I got right. So
that was
pretty unique.
And Ryan, on this show, you know, there's a show out there, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? We got a game called Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? You ready to play?
Yeah.
What is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Harrisburg.
Ding, 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 ding. What is the largest city in Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia.
Ding, 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 ding. And the final question, if you get this right, you will be perfect. What is the second largest city in Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is right. You are smarter than a third grader, and you got a perfect score. Unbelievable, Ryan. I can't believe it. You did it again.
Well, I watch the game show, too. I watch Jeopardy practically every day. And I watch all the other game shows, like the Taffy Cavs show. I forget the name of it. But, yeah, I do like watching game shows.
You're a smart man, obviously. You proved it on the Wonderlick test, and you proved it right here. You are a very smart man. Did you study for the Wonderlick test? Was there like a sample test you could study?
Yeah, when I was training, they had a sample test for me. But I definitely didn't get them all right. But, you know, I guess the Lord was smiling on me that day when I took the test for the Steelers.
And I think the Lord was smiling on you today when you passed this test as well. And, Ryan, where can fans connect with you?
Well, my Twitter handle is rmundy29. I do have a Facebook fan page under Ryan Mundy. And also, starting next Friday, I'll be launching my personal website, where fans can go and contact me, learn more about my community initiatives, what I'm doing professionally off the field, you know, all that type of stuff. So, and that website is RyanMundyCollective.com.
Okay. And what are some of the things you're doing off the field in terms of charity?
I do a lot of volunteer work, spend a lot of time with the youth, you know, just encouraging them. And I feel like it's real important to me, especially being in Pittsburgh and being from Pittsburgh, that I get back out there and, you know, I mentor kids, inspire them because, you know, I was once in their shoes. I think they definitely relate to me being from Pittsburgh and accomplishing my dreams. And I'm just trying to motivate them and encourage them that say, hey, if I can do it, you can do it too.
Right, and I think that's a great, and I think that's a powerful and positive message. Keep doing what you're doing, Ryan. It was a pleasure talking to you, sir. And
sorry.
You know, you came here, you know, you had the situation in the game against the Broncos, but you were man enough to come here and talk about it. And I definitely appreciate that. And let's do it again.
All right, thanks a lot,
Ryan Mundy, safety, Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, you look at it, he was involved in a final play against the Denver Broncos, but the reality is it was a few weeks ago, and now he came on our show. You got to give him a lot of credit. He talked about it. He was fine in talking about it, and give him a lot of credit for that. Some people, after a tough situation or after a tough play, they would not be willing to come on the show and talk about it. But Ryan was more than able, more willing and able to come on the show, and you look at it, give him a lot of credit for that. Give him a lot of credit for that. And I want to read something now. There's a report out now that Vanessa Bryant, who has filed for divorce with Kobe Bryant, that they're going through a divorce situation right now. And you look at it, Vanessa Bryant will get to keep three of the couple's homes, three homes in California. And all those three mansions are valued at $18.8 million. $18.8 million. Wow. 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 So those houses were transferred in her name back in December. Three mansions valued at $18.8 million. Man, oh, man. What a country. What a country. What a country. Vanessa Bryant is going to be living the high life right now. She is going to be living the high life right now. $18.8 million worth of homes, three mansions. $18.8 million. $18.8 million. That's crazy. That's living the life. What a country. What a country. Where all you have to do is just marry somebody. I mean, she doesn't shoot the baskets on the court. She is not the reason he is where he's at today, at least on the court. But $18.8 million. My. $18.8 million worth of homes for Vanessa Bryant. Three mansions. She is going to be a hot commodity after this one, after this divorce. Vanessa Bryant is an attractive woman, a very attractive woman. But she becomes a lot more attractive now. She becomes a lot more attractive now after this. What a country. What a country. My. Vanessa Bryant is living and will be living the high life for the rest of her life. That is some good stuff if you're Vanessa Bryant. That is some good stuff if you're Vanessa Bryant. $18.8 million worth of homes. My, my, my. My, my, my. My, my, my. That's just an amazing story. $18.8 million worth of homes. That's good stuff if you're Vanessa Bryant. That is some good stuff if you're Vanessa Bryant. That's amazing stuff if you're Vanessa Bryant.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pizzerica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
And get it is what we do, and get it is what Vanessa Bryant is going to be doing. She's going to be getting $18.8 million worth of mansions, three mansions. What do you do with all those homes? Must be nice. Must be nice. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. But anyway, speaking of a situation that will be getting a lot of money or be making a lot of money, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Manny Pacquiao, we've been hearing about this for the last few years now, more probably than we wanted to. But you look at it. You look at it. Floyd Mayweather personally called Manny Pacquiao this week, called him apparently to discuss the fight, called him to try to make a fight. I mean, it's time. It is time for these two to make this fight. A lot of money to be made from this fight. A lot of money. A lot of money. But during this conversation, and this is something that may prevent this fight from happening, Floyd Mayweather told Manny Pacquiao that there should not be a 50-50 split here. There should not be a 50-50 split. And apparently Floyd Mayweather sent an email to ESPN's Stan Verrett or to ESPN, and it said, I called him. This is the particulars of the conversation that Mayweather had with Pacquiao. Mayweather was saying, or at least the email said, I called him and asked him about fighting May 5th and giving the world what they want to see. Mayweather's email read also, I also let him know we both can make a lot of money. He asked about a 50-50 split, and I told him, no, that can't happen. But what can happen is you can make more money fighting me than you have made in your career. I also let him know I'm in control of my side, but he needs to get on the same page with his promoter so we can make this fight happen. The message continued. I told him to tell his promoter that he only wants to fight Mayweather and that this fight will be the biggest fight in history. His manager came to my boxing gym a few months ago, and we spoke about getting a defamation of characters lawsuit dropped against me and asked about both fighters taking the random blood tests and urine tests. I spoke to his manager again last night about the same thing. The call lasted 15 or 20 minutes, and I mainly spoke to his manager. He got on and off the phone real quick. So they're at least talking. The sides are at least talking. But interesting, Pacquiao, his story or the way he felt the conversation went,
that they spoke about making the fight, and they also spoke about doing the 50-50 split. Mayweather's email to ESPN says otherwise. Mayweather's email to ESPN is saying that there will not be a 50-50 split. To me, the fight has to be made, but I think the fight is going to have to be made with a 50-50 split. I mean, I don't see how Pacquiao can agree to a fight without a 50-50 split. And you look at it, Manny Pacquiao brings a lot of people to pay-per-view and brings a lot of people to his fight. Floyd Mayweather does as well. They both have big-time drawing power. They both have big-time drawing power. To me, it makes sense that in order for this fight to get made, it has to be 50-50. It has to be 50-50. You can't agree to a fight if you're Bob Arum, Top Rank, and the rest of Manny Pacquiao's team without getting that 50-50 split. You have to get the 50-50 split. There has to be a 50-50 split in order for this fight to happen. You can't make this fight without a 50-50 split if you're Manny Pacquiao. You just can't do it. You just cannot do it. There has to be a 50-50 split here if a fight were to be made. There has to be 50-50. You just want to see this fight get made. I mean, we could talk about all the logistics. It's really not that important. Bottom line is this. Guys, get it together. Guys, let's make this fight happen. But on the positive side, the plus side, if you will, they are talking. That is better than not talking at all. They are talking. They're talking. And that's important. They are talking. They're talking, everybody. But shut up, crowd, because the fight has not been made yet. So shut it up. Shut it up. But if, again, 50-50 has to be in line here. There has to be 50-50. Has to be. But we shall see. I want to move to the NBA now. And I want to look at Deron Williams from the New Jersey Nets. Deron Williams has a wish list, according to sources. His wish list. List includes the Mavericks, the Knicks, the Lakers. But he would be willing to stay in New Jersey, or Brooklyn, I should say, with the Nets, if the Nets are able to acquire Dwight Howard. If the Nets are able to acquire Dwight Howard, then Deron Williams would be more willing to stay with the Nets. Also, sources are saying if Dwight Howard does not go to the Nets and he's traded to the Lakers, then there's a possibility that the Nets would trade Deron Williams. So we'll see how this thing plays out. Deron Williams can opt out of his contract next year. And I think he does, obviously, if the Nets do not get Dwight Howard. It's a bad situation with the Nets. I mean, they're not playing good basketball right now. A lot of injuries with the Nets, and I'll give them that, but they're really not playing good basketball right now. And if you're Deron Williams and you have an opportunity to opt out of your deal, you do it. You do it, and you go, I guess, to a situation that is that's friendly to what you want, and that is to win a championship and to be with a contender. So you look at it.
Darren Williams is from Dallas. The Mavericks are positioned to make a run at Darren Williams if he is or does become a free agent next year. The Clippers have become very, very appealing to a lot of people, but the Clippers really wouldn't be involved in this mix. But they are involved in the Dwight Howard discussions, as sources are saying Dwight Howard has added the Clippers as one of the teams that he would be willing to go to. But, you know, Darren Williams is from San Diego, so the Lakers may not be a bad situation for him. He's a California kid. The Lakers are a California team. And the Knicks. He's willing to go to the Knicks. And the Knicks are in good position in terms of the talent that they have. They don't really have anybody to offer, and you wonder what their cap situation is going to look like. But again, three teams, the Mavericks, the Knicks, and the Lakers, are on Darren Williams' wish list if he does leave, if he does decide to leave the New Jersey Nets. Not the New Jersey Nets. Well, they're New Jersey Nets right now, but they will be the Brooklyn Nets at some point. So it should be interesting how this thing plays out. If I'm Darren Williams, again, you got to examine and look at all options. One of those options has to be, ought to be, and should be the Lakers. It should be the Knicks. And it should be the Mavericks. And he's from Dallas. He's a Dallas kid. He's a Dallas boy, and it makes all the sense. Makes all the sense in the world. All the sense in the world. You're listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
We're back, and we're going to be joined any second now by actor Bobby Coleman. Bobby has some interesting things going on right now. And we're going to talk to him about it. Let's bring him in now. Actor, the one, the only, Bobby Coleman. Bobby, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
And
I'm excited to be here.
And I'm excited to have you, Bobby. You have some interesting things going on as you plan on exploring the Amazon. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I found this awesome program called the Young Explorers Program by a guy who, the guy who started it was named Mike Horn. And, man, football, I would agree that football is crazy and tough, but think about this. Imagine swimming the whole length of the Amazon River with a kickboard. That's 4,000 miles alone.
Wow.
All right? So, you know, This is that guy. This is Mike Horn who started it. He's this crazy explorer who loves the world, and he wanted to pass that down to the younger generation, so he started the Young Explorers Program. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to pangea-yep.com, and they have a great website there where it really explains it in depth. But I just I applied to go to the Amazon because that's their next expedition with Mike Horn, and I applied by video. You can go to Just Bobby C, my YouTube channel, and see that application video. It's really cool. I worked really hard on it, and I got in. And it was, you know, I got in against all odds because I was actually too young to apply. It was from 15 to 20, and I'm 14.
Okay.
But this program fit my dreams and passions so much, and I've always had a passion for the Amazon and always wanted to go, and I got in. So you can go see that video, and it's a great program.
And you talked about how physical football is. Are you physically ready to do this Amazon thing? Are you physically ready?
Well, I take Taekwondo, and I'm actually a black belt now. So that helps a little bit, but, you know, kicking and you know, exploring the Amazon is very different for sure. But I'm training hard. I'm going to be posting videos on my channel about that. And I'm actually, yeah, I have to train really hard because on January 30th, I'm going to Switzerland, where Mike Horn's base camp is, and we have to train for 10 days on endurance and teamwork and physical fitness, and it's going to be beautiful there. We're going to be training in and near the Swiss Alps, and so it's going to be a super great adventure, and it's going to be freezing there. It's winter there, and the snow's going to be 5 feet. 5 feet tall. We'll see how that goes. They only take half of us. They ship 18 kids out to Switzerland, and they take half of us to go to the Amazon. So you can be crossing your fingers for me to get in, and it's going to be an amazing experience whether I do or not, and I'm so glad I found this program.
And my fingers are crossed.
My life.
I got my fingers crossed. I got my toes crossed as well.
All right, double the power.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with this. But right now you said you will be going to Switzerland in January, at the end of January. What are you doing now to prepare yourself?
Right now I'm doing everything I can. I signed up with a kind of boot camp thing, and I'm waking up every morning and doing that early. And then I'm just – you know, hitting 24-hour fitness. I'm running as far as I can, trying to swim because the Amazon's going to have some swimming for sure.
Yeah.
And just learning about the environment because I was really surprised at how much I didn't know. Did you know that 2,500 acres get, or actually way more than that, get chopped down or burned for cattle ranching? In the Amazon every single day.
I did not know that.
One day. And it's just, it's awful. And there are so many beautiful species in the Amazon dying every day. And we're losing them. And the Amazon, I mean, even more than that, the Amazon provides our oxygen, a lot of our oxygen. And
right.
People say it'll be gone in 40 years.
Wow.
The whole Amazon. They say we'll be completely gone in 40 years if it keeps on going like this.
And you're 14 at this point, so you're talking about you'll be 54 when the Amazon could be gone. I mean, you still would be fairly young.
Exactly. It's a tragedy. I mean, the Amazon is as big as the United States, basically, and they say it'll be gone in 40 years.
Wow.
That just kind of shows how serious this is. And
yeah,
I think we all need to bring this up to, you know, the main topic right now and really, really fight to save it. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what Pangea and the Young Explorers Program is trying to do. And I think we should all jump on the bandwagon and try and save it.
We're talking to actor Bobby Coleman. And Bobby, you're best known for your role in Martian Child with John Cusack. How much fun was it to work with John Cusack?
Oh, it was super fun. I was 8 at that point, I believe. And it was a blast because John is so funny. He'll take the script, right? The script I've been learning all night. He'll just completely change it and not go by it every single take. So he loves improvisation, and that really, really taught me a lot because
right.
Suddenly my line didn't make sense anymore, you know. I had to react in a different way, and so he taught me how to do improv, and it really made the scenes natural and really something that I'm super glad to have learned.
And talk about it. I mean, you were 8 at the time of that movie. You're 14 now. But talk about the kind of work you have to put in to memorize lines.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's this fine line between over-memorizing them and under-memorizing them, which you kind of have to know. Because if you over-memorize them, they suddenly sound stale. You're, I don't know, your brain kicks into a mode where you know what's coming and you don't react as well, and it just turns out stale. So you kind of have to find that fine line where you know the lines, but it seems really, really real.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Memorizing lines, it all depends on the script, of course. It all,
right.
You just kind of have to make the character work. Just, you got to read the script and really, more than memorizing the lines, you have to memorize really what the character is. You have to put your mindset in, through the eyes of who you're playing. And so with Dennis in Martian Child, I was playing a very subdued kid who had gone through a lot in his past and just didn't feel like he fit in. And so, I'm definitely not like that. I'm really energetic and I run around.
Right.
You can see the behind the scenes on the DVD. But I'm not Dennis in real life. So I had to really put myself through his eyes and through, feeling what he had felt in the past and what had hurt him. And then it really comes out nice. It really comes out nice.
And it's funny, you look at it, and then when you said the word subdued, you got subdued. So you're a very good actor, I see.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was, they on set, they made sure I didn't have any candy, just in case. They're like, nope. No candy for you. And then we filmed a scene where I had to eat a ton of M&Ms. And so I went from no candy to suddenly a huge candy spike. And I threw up afterwards.
Wow.
My body was like, what is this?
And you also worked alongside Miley Cyrus in Last Song. You played Miley Cyrus' little brother. How was it playing Miley Cyrus' little brother?
Oh, it was awesome. Miley's a super bright-eyed, bushy-tailed girl who loves adventure and loves the world. So that was really fun to be around. There's a certain energy to the set when Miley's around. Definitely
right.
A certain energy. That's really nice. She has fun with it. We pulled pranks on each other, and she would pay me out to see if Liam, liked her and different stuff like that. Yes, I was. I was part of the matchmaking of Miley and Liam, proud to say.
Wow.
But it was fun. It was a blast. And it was nice because it was summertime when we filmed that, so we didn't have to worry about school or anything. So it really just really was a genuinely fun trip, fun shoot.
And I was reading somewhere that your favorite singer is Weird Al Yankovic. Why Weird Al Yankovic?
I got to listen to Weird Al now because I remember when I was like probably 8 when I said that also, and I just had that one year where I just listened to Weird Al all the time, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And actually, I remember it was really clever. He did some cool things. So, yeah, Weird Al. I'm not good with singers, so I probably didn't have anything else to say that I listen to. I don't really listen. I mean, I love music, but I don't know. I can't name singers, and I don't know them off the top of the head. I just kind of turn on the radio and listen.
It seems like your musical taste has matured at this point because you were saying that you like Weird Al when you were 8. You're 14 now. So has the musical taste matured on some level?
No.
I tried.
I started listening out of obligation to Miley's music when I was on set. And I enjoyed it. I just never would have in the past. I don't know. But, yeah, go listen to Miley Cyrus's music. It's good.
And I was also reading somewhere where you're a man that has many pets, including a goat. How are goats
as pets? Yes, that was also when I was 8. We used to have goats. Oh, man. All these memories being brought up. Yeah, they would go on our roof and just kind of hang out up there, and our roof is, like, pretty steep, and they would just kind of walk around on it and lean off the edge to eat the branches of the tree next to us. And they were serious, legitimate goats. They didn't just kind of sit in a pen and go bad and butt each other or whatever. They were, like, on our roof, like mountain goats. They were serious. They were fun. I remember everybody was like, when we ever had guests over, they were like, what is that noise? And we're like, oh, we have goats on the roof. And they're like,
wow. And Bobby.
But you know, wait, I gotta re-answer that question about the music, because I just realized I do listen to certain kinds of music. They're just not on the radio. I have a friend named Nathan Lewis. He's my cousin, and I don't just listen to it because he's my cousin. I genuinely like this music. He produces, I don't know what to call it. It's kind of his own genre, but it's like a techno kind of classical, and it's really good. You should check it out. It's going to be on my channel pretty soon, Just Bobby C. And when I mean Just Bobby C, I mean Just Bobby C in quotations, not Bobby C. in my channel, because some people are like, oh, it's Just Bobby C. But no, it's one thing, one channel name. So you can check that out on YouTube, and I'm going to be posting his music there. And
so what do you
really
got
going on?
And we heard about the Amazon thing. What else do you have going on in 2012?
Oh, I have a movie hopefully coming out this year called Robo Sapien. It's a really, really fun movie that I filmed with my sister just by happenstance, actually. We just happened to both audition and get it. It wasn't planned or anything, but we played brother and sister in the movie, which was, you know, didn't have to act a lot there. But it was super, super really fun to film, because I learned all these acting things from my sister Holly, who's such a great actress. And so I learned how to act from her, and now we finally get to act in the same movie together, and it's really cool because it's a CG, part CG movie. I find a robot that's made out of, you know, it's obviously not real, but he's a great robot, and we have great adventures, and this movie was produced by a guy named Avi Arad, who was, you know, co-producer of Spider-Man and used to be the head of Marvel and all these crazy things. And so this was his film that he made himself. He wrote himself, and it was kind of his project that he really wanted to do. So it'll be fun. You can look out for Robo Sapien in 2012. Make sure to...
And that's big, big news for the Coleman family, a very talented family, very obviously. This is a talented family, and this is a talented guy. Bobby Coleman, real quickly, where can we find out about all the great things you got going on? Give me all those websites again.
Okay, Just Bobby C, my YouTube channel, you can look up that. And then Twitter is @ColemanKid, ColemanKid. K-I-D, and then you can go to Facebook at just look up Bobby Coleman. I doubt I have any posers. And then you can also go to Pangea, -yep.com for more info on this wonderful program that I'm going to be taking part of on January 30th, and then hopefully to the Amazon after that. So keep watching my stuff. I'm going to be posting stuff and lots of videos to just follow up on this awesome adventure in Switzerland and training previous to, and hopefully the Amazon.
Bobby,
so, like I said, cross your fingers.
Bobby, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'm crossing my toes as well. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with everything you do. Let's do this again, sir. Hope all is well with you.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much. You're very, very good at your job.
Thank you, sir.
Make it fun. You really do. So thank
you. Take care.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bobby Coleman. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Also, make sure you follow me on Twitter, @GoForItGAN. Follow me there. I'll follow back. And we want to thank everybody who joined us, Ryan Mundy, Willie Rofe, and Bobby Coleman. See you later. Take care. Bye.